Welcome to Rebyte number 13. I'm Tim Elliott, the host of today's Rebyte. This is the first one in 2021, which is cool. And my special guest today is Mr. Carl Shaw. Carl, say hello and tell people where you're from and what you do and all that.
Hello. My name's Carl, or Mr. Shaw. I run a design agency, or I have been running a design agency in Derby for the last 12 years called Silverbirch Creative. I also, alongside that, started a clothing brand called Mr. Shaw about roughly 5 years ago as well. So, yeah, that's me. And I run a house music night as well every so often when we're allowed to. So,
when we're allowed.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good. I love Mr. Shaw clothing label. We'll put the links in the show notes, people. But it's my favourite hoodie, which is nice. So we're here today, if you've not guessed from Carl's introduction, to talk about design, right? And design has been, as a marketer, something I've always really valued and looked up to. And I even love it a bit. I'm just terrible at it. I know what good design is, and I know what it is at the thing. It's just the middle bit of the creation of design. I know good design when I see it, that has eluded me in my very small set of talents. Design is not one of them. I'm even rubbish at Canva, right? I'm even rubbish at Canva. So let's start, Carl, of how you got to be a designer, right? What made you choose design as a career? What got you into it?
Well, as a child, I think I've always been a little bit more kind of hands-on with the artistic side. Your traditional pencil and painting, that's always been my passion. Even as a young kid, I was always scribbling in classes and stuff. And so I think it began with the fine art, real art, I should say. And so my educational journey started with that, really, because I didn't do very well at school. I think I came out with 1B, GCSE.
It's not bad.
And that was it. So I had to retake the GCSEs, obviously. And I went to do a BTEC in art design once I got my GCSEs I needed. So, yeah, and that was all fine art based. So my traditional love really is for painting. And so you kind of hone your skills there, really, in terms of perception of colour, perspective. So you're already using, your canvas is your kind of space. And making things harmonious, you learn all these skills really through painting and drawing. But it got to a point in education thinking, well, I can't really earn any money painting. Well, at that time, I mean, obviously Instagram and things like that weren't around, so you couldn't really get your work out there and sell it. It was you have to have half your ear chopped off and die. It's worth anything.
Let's not go that route.
No. So that's how it started, really, is fine art base. So then I went and did a graphic design, visual communication course in Sheffield for my degree for 2 years. And that's really when I started learning the graphic design, so to speak, side of things, which, again, that course was a mixture of illustration, photography, learning all the media-based things that you need to pull together. So it's a true graphic designer is it combines all these skills, and what comes out the other side is probably two or three kind of specialist areas, really. So for instance, me, I love typography and color and layout. They're my things. Some people might be more illustrative based, or Photoshop based, like doing movie posters, with big dramatic kind of scenes. So it's, I love space, simplicity. I always break things down as simple as possible. And as you get older, you get to do that quicker. Whereas from a junior or a middleweight, you kind of go at it full bore and put as much into it as possible. And you slowly learn to just pull it back. Sometimes now, I do something, I can do it quite quick because I've got all the knowledge and experience. And then you think, I'm not spending much time on that. But I know it's right. You know it's singing. You just know now. With experience, you know when it's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that definitely comes with it. There's that old analogy thing of where I can't remember it exactly word for word, but where there's a machine in a factory that's broken, and a guy comes in and he walks around the machine for 10 minutes and he hits it with a spanner and charges them 10 grand. They go, "Hold on, you've only been here 5 minutes." It was like, "Yeah, but it's £9,999 for knowing where to hit it, and £1 for hitting it with the spanner." Like, it's that. It's that, like, experience you've got to grow, right? There's no training, there's no shortcut to experience, especially in something as skilled as design. Like I say, I'm only a marketing guy, but I know, like, young marketing people who haven't been knocking around as long as I have the same thing that you explained, right? They want to do everything, and it's super jazzy and flashy and all over the place, and there's 13 different fonts in it and there's animations and GIFs and so, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's tough to understand what it was. So I'm like a marketing version of you, of going, let's just put one word on it if we can, like, just one word. Make it all white or all black. It's beautiful. But I think, yeah, absolutely right. That comes from, I don't know, it just comes from doing it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It comes from, typography. Let's talk about typography. I think that ties into what you said about visual communication. I don't know. Is that where you discovered that you liked typography as a graphic designer in that course?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the kind of modules was typography. And I'm not one of these kind of designer types who read loads of books and worship the best designers in the world or know about. It's not my makeup, but with typography, there was Neville Brody, one I remember from university, and I just specifically, I don't know why, but my brain just remembers certain things, and I can't tell you why that happens, but that's what happened really at university, and I got to like the typography's got a lot to do with colour as well, and it's the light and dark, and it's the contrast and separation, and I think that's what our eyes make up things easier when. Or can fall easier with light and dark and space. So that's where my kind of love is really. And typography is, you know, it's about alignment, it's about paragraphs as well, it's about spacing. It's not just, you know, fantastic kind of layout of type. It's kind of nitty gritty as well. It's like how a letterhead is formatted. You know, it's simple things, because I'll still do a brand sort of style for somebody, for a company, give it them, and then I'll see 2 months later they've produced it themselves, and it's just, again, it's all over the chip shop. They've just got no spatial awareness, and they just think, they're just so happy they've learned how to use a program. Oh yeah, look, I can do it.
Yeah,
and that's what we're finding as well. People are using InDesign now, and it's like they're all designers, so it's an ever-changing world that I'm fighting against in my head as well.
Mate, well, I'm not going to fight that fight. I'm definitely not a designer. I'm definitely not a designer. But, like, I think that, you know, that it's the stuff in between sometimes, right? It's the stuff, not to put words in your mouth, but the stuff that you don't do is sometimes more important than the actual, you know, the type itself, right? The message that the type says, right, that puts across, the stuff you choose not to do, as in marketing, right, as in branding, as in strategy, all the stuff we talk about on this podcast, like, it's the stuff you don't do that makes it more effective. But so do you have, because it's a sign, it's a thing that's eluded me, right? Design, the skill of design, right? Do you have a particular process? I know you said you can come up with it quickly, but what's your kind of process if somebody, like a new client, rings up for say a rebrand, a new logo and stuff? What's your kind of thinking process? What's behind the scenes of that?
Well, there's obviously the element side of it all and creating the graphic, but also the person. So I always like to get the person in the meeting room and have a chat, you know, eyeball to eyeball, understand them and understand the company. Sometimes that's a lot easier when it's a smaller startup, maybe.
Yeah.
Because that person lives and breathes that company and they are that company. So then if I'm sitting in a room with them, I take as much out from that meeting them, and I can build in my mind a personality, you know, it might even be a color palette in my head thinking, you know, that's them. I read a lot into that. The big corporates, it becomes more, there's more elements to it. You're dealing with more people in that company, more egos, and that becomes more complicated then. Obviously, you get to the graphical side, they'll input more sometimes or less. And it's, again, they've seen something they like, and generally that's what they want. But then they'll say, we want something different, but they've seen something that they want to align themselves with. So it's really asking the right questions to them to get the elements I need to try and execute the identity. And we, when we're doing a brand, we like to do two or three, if possible, because we might be, you know, we might tick a box for somebody in one or two, you know what I mean? Again, like I say, it's this, so you fight against egos and personalities within a company, first of all, reading them, and then it's down to the graphic side, which we want to get down into and enjoy, and that's a bit we love doing. Getting it down, because until we start pushing things around and feeling it ourselves on screen, you know, there's certain questions we ask as well. We have like a brand sheet where we ask questions, you know, what colours do you like? And it's a bit of a, it should help us, because ultimately we want to develop two or three ideas that they love, but then we have a discussion face to face about what's going to be more appropriate for them, rather than saying, this is what I think you should have. We've got to get their buy-in. Although we're the professionals, it's a two-way. It's always a two-way thing. But hopefully, they trust your professional judgment. That's what we have an issue with sometimes, because they still can be quite adamant that that's the one they want to go with. And it's one of three. It will be still a great logo. We wouldn't design it otherwise. But we still prefer the longevity of the other ones and the diversity of the other ones. So, and if they choose that one, the one we don't want, then it sometimes doesn't go on our website.
I was going to say, do you produce like a purposely terrible one to make the two you kind of like look better? We'll just put a rubbish one over there.
The way I used to use it, obviously when I had Civil Burks and I had several designers, I would give each designer the opportunity design the brand for the client.
Cool.
Client would always get a different variation and thinking process from the designer, which I felt was quite nice, because sometimes design agencies have a house style and you can get, sorry, my dog wants to jump up.
That's all right.
They have a design style and they kind of look very similar, but by getting three designers looking at it, you get a different perspective.
I quite like that idea, actually, because I've been involved in agency world with design departments in it and stuff, and sometimes the junior or mid-level designers get given the brief and then do that process, but the head designer or the lead designer chooses which one they like before it goes to the client. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I like to do that, which is difficult, and plus it must be difficult. I mean, marketing's slightly different because it's not tangible like a design, right? It's a process with, in theory, not with an end, and it's a thing with that. There's no right answer. There's more than one right answer to marketing, right? Whereas it must be difficult with design because everybody, I imagine, within an organization, like if you've got four directors, they've all got opinions on what would be good,
yeah.
Right? And it's that must be difficult because everybody go, "Wow, I want more red in it," and stuff. And you're like, "The red's not the point."
Yeah.
Right. What's do you often have to kind of fight that fight? Is it what happens if they cheat, if they want to go a route like a colorway or a shape or a style that you properly don't believe in? Like, is there a point? Because I've done this as a more senior marketer. I've gone, "I'm not doing that. If you want to do that, if this is where your heart is, I'm not that guy." Do you have, has that come across to you any time? Or
yeah definitely. I've like I say, as I've got older, I feel more confident about my ability and what I can say in a meeting, and I feel more, I open that dialect up from the very beginning and try and get them to open up to trust me in a way. And good. That, I don't know, that's just a skill you just build up. So I feel confident now that I'll say, I'm not sure that's going to work. I can justify why it's not going to, but if they still want to go ahead with it, then albeit, you know, it's that old saying, like, you know, they're paying for it, so that they're going to get what they want. That's not really the way it should be. And I think I've got more frustrated as I've got older, and I've had even thoughts, Tim, you know, last year and stuff, thinking, you know, how long can I be in this industry, and there's people just still telling me what to do or to do what to do with it.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's like another 10 years of this. But I love it, and left your own devices and let you breathe and do what you're going to do, then it's such a great feeling. You know, still that email, I'm still dead nervous presenting, sending it off, and if I don't get anything back within a couple of hours once I've sent it, I'm like, they don't like it, and it's like, it's weird. It's a strange one.
But it means stuff, right? You get, like, we've talked in other episodes of this podcast about, there seems to be a difference opening up in there. I'll use the whole of the creative industries, right? Like, because it's definitely in various skill sets, and I'm sure it is in design, that there's some people who will just do stuff, right? Their job is to churn out some stuff in the time. People want, like, client side would want a utility. They want some stuff doing for money because they can't be bothered and they can't see the value in it, right? They just want it off their plate. And then there seems to be a growing gap. And then some people who are bought into the process, right? It means something. They want to do stuff with impact, not just take it through. And I think, like, I've seen it in other areas of the creative industry, that this gap is widening, right? There's definitely a bunch of people who, like, in my bit of the creative industry, marketing and brand, right, that just churn stuff out. They'll go, I can do that. I can write you a marketing plan or a marketing strategy for 150 quid. See ya. And I'm like, well, I want 7 grand. So there's a different, like, they, like, there's not a thing. Is that, like, it's difficult, isn't it, as creative people to fight that fight sometimes, I think.
Yeah, definitely. The money thing is a real stickler for me, because I don't think you never start out on a business and knowing how much you should charge and how much you are worth. And some people have told me outside what I'm worth, and people tell me that I'm worth a lot more than what I charge. But I still have that old, I still want to sleep at night, and I just find it hard sometimes. Money is the hardest thing I've found in business, knowing what to charge. And it still gets to me. You know, if someone could just take that away and just say, Carl's amazing, you know, just pay that money, that's great. No worries, just deal with it all. Let me just design and just have that conversation with them about the process. How much I love what I'm doing for them, that would be great. But I had a phone call on Friday night, about 7 o'clock on my mobile, some guy was in a logo, he was going through saying, you know, telling me about his, you know, asking about his business, and then it got to, I just need a logo for my Instagram account.
Like,
I'm still having these conversations, and it's 7 o'clock on a Friday. you know, in January, beginning of January. And just, you know, I said to him, how does £750 sound for designing your logo? Oh, that sounds a lot. You know, I was like, well, what budget have you got? What do you want to spend? And he's like, well, I can get it done online, but I don't want to get it done online because I want to deal with a person. I said, well, if you want to deal with a person and a company and an agency with experience, you know, you're going to be looking at starting at something about 750, easy, you know, for an option. And he just, then that was, I can't pay that. I said, well, that's that then. And I'm still having them conversations, you see, you know, 12 years on starting my business.
And they don't, you know, they don't stop those, I don't think, right? And it's like, it is a battle, especially for creative people. I think I'm going to stick my neck out and say, especially for creative people, when it comes down to money, we all go, I don't know. Right? There's always the, can we not talk about money? Let's carry on with the work. I like the work. Do you know, but I think there was a good thing by Chase Jarvis, who, if people don't know, is a famous photographer and now he's like a businessy creative business guru guy. But he always done a nice story where he goes, where it comes to money, he goes, say what like it's worth. Like I'm worth 10 grand. It's about 2 grand. And they go, all right. Well, I can get it done for 4,500. And you're like, okay, well, go on then. That's fine. But I'm 10 grand. Like he said, having that bravery to go, well, that's all right, but you're not the right client for me, because the way I have to do work to produce the work that I'm proud of, that, like you said earlier, that I'll put on my website and shout about, right, it's going to take this amount of work. If you want a cheap logo for 50 quid, then cool. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, oh man, I don't know if that battle will ever end.
No, I don't. And as I'm saying, the more one thing social media is, you know, is just making available is everything. The world's got its fingertips. You know, everyone can download a template now for a web, you know, a brochure design or anything. It's just, so it's a tough one, and I just hope people want that personal interaction and a connection.
But I think that, right, the value that good design brings, like something that's yours that you can own, is super important. I went to with a client last year or year before. I didn't go anywhere last year, did we? Because we had COVID. The year before, I went to a Google conference in London that we were invited to via a client. So I went with the CEO of a client. And I was always a bit, like, they were kind of a new company and they had quite a good set of money and they had good profile and stuff. But I walked in, I was like, what is that logo? It looks like clip art. Oh my God. And they had it massive on the wall behind the reception. I was like, oh Jesus. I was like, where do you feel about rebrand? Where did the logo come from? Oh, we love our logo. I'm like, to you. Oh shit. Okay. I mean, it's not my remit. I'll just leave it. Right. But we went to this Google conference, like, that was for, like, not for public, like, you, it was an expensive leadershipy sort of one. And on the slide that this guy was presenting on was the same clip art in a different color than this guy's logo. And they went, hey, they've got it. It was sitting next to me and he whispered in my ear, can they use my logo like that? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, it's not your logo. And I went on my phone onto like a you know, an icon site and was like, look, it's 3 quid. Look, you can get it in any color. It's £3. Like, it's not. And it was like, I'm going to ring their lawyer. I was like, you can't ring the lawyer. It's here. and that was one of the proof points that I was like, dude, you haven't got, that's not your logo. You can call it your logo if you like. But I've seen that no end of times out in businesses and people, like when we had business expos on people's roller banners and stuff, like there was bound to be four that had the same logo, same typeface. It must be, I don't know, it must be disappointing not to have something you own.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what some people don't, like I say, realise. The connection I have with the brands that I design, there's a recent one just happened and I've not put it up on the website yet, because also I like my clients to have their logo, use it, and they want to promote themselves first before I start going, hey, I did that. Whoa, that's Mark. You know, it's like, and I find a lot of that at the moment. It's like, I'm here today and showing you this before anyone else has bloody seen it. And it's so, this, yeah, there's one I've designed recently. I'm really, really, really proud of, because it was an unusual process to design the identity itself. You know, it is typographic based. It's a conversation we have, and I was thinking, oh, you want these words in your icon or your mark. I was thinking, I don't know how that's really going to work, because it's like, you know, your Nike symbol, it's got form. How can I make letter shapes into something attractive as an icon or a mark? And I had this wicked journey with them, and it was, you know, it's an active clotheswear brand, and it filled me with joy again, because it just took me on a path I've not been for ages, and I kind of fell in love again with it, because the client had engaged with me properly, and I knew where I wanted to get with it, and they were a little bit unsure at first again, but then we went around the house and came back to it and just fell in love with it. I had to do so many processes of how it could work to demonstrate to them, and now it's out there in the market, and they've released the clothes, and they're doing really well. They're a local company, and I can't now wait to talk about it.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, and if they use it wrong, you know, because they've not done the guidelines, they're using it themselves, and you know, they're doing a great job with it. But I would do things differently. So again, it's that. It's like, design is care. You know, you've paid the money, but the after service you could have after, just to protect it and look after it properly. That's what you want.
But I think it's that rule that creative people, no matter what they are, especially designers, right? They're to do work they're proud of, right? To do their best work, you need good clients, right? You get, like, clients are everywhere, technically. Yeah. Like that guy who wanted a logo for his Instagram account, right? I was a potential client, but like, the best clients help you produce best work. And I think you kind of alluded to it a bit earlier, that there's an element of co-creation. Do you know what I mean? Like, they need to be as involved and as passionate and care enough about it as you do, right? As the creative, because I think we probably both know, as similarly experienced people, right, that the clients that care, right, in a good way, that want to be part of the process, that they've got some ownership over it. They've not just sent a brief out to some designers and picked one and are waiting for a design, right? It's the depth of work, isn't it, that makes the difference, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Can I just bring a point up here?
Yeah.
It's always good to talk about real life experiences I've had. And I've designed a brand for a named company, and it was great, you know, and it was probably about 5 years ago. Still works really well now. The client then wanted to get a new website, but he chose another company to do the website. Didn't pitch out for it, just chose this other company to do it. Didn't ask me to do it, although we did it originally. And then they wanted a rebrand. They said, well, we're going to have a new website. Now's the point to have a rebrand. They've got another director involved in the company, so there's three. So then they're going to put that out to pitch. So they didn't put out the website to pitch, but the brand they put out to pitch. So I basically kind of said, well, I'm not, they wanted ideas putting forward again as well without payment. I said, well, I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm not doing that. And, you know, I know this person really well. He's actually, family member almost. he is. And that's what makes it hurt even more, I think. So I chose not to say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put designs down there. I'll give you a price. You know what I can do, because I did the first one. And I'm best placed, really, to develop and refresh your brand going forward, because I understand you. The evolution of it already in my head. So I put a price in, which was obviously a good price. a Sheffield company put a price in with a lot more than mine, and another local company put price in. I don't know what they put in, but I lost it out to another local company.
Right.
That really hurt. You know what I mean? I think these things are still really affect me because of the person I am as well. It might just for somebody else, it's not a problem. We'll move on to the next one. We'll win it. We'll pitch and get that. But I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think it's just, again, it's some designers are really kind of passionate about it. And the business side of it, I hate that kind of put out for three people. And it's why not choose an agency or a person you're already happy with and never can do the job and you know will you respect and give you a good price. Swearing pissed me off completely, but I've got over it because my wife is very good at bringing me back and reviewing it, and there's a lot more going on in the world to worry about.
I've worked with some big companies with their teams and stuff. They're like, I've never understood that. Can you get three quotes for this thing? I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to choose them anyway. Like, well, we need three quotes. I'm like, but why? Like, I want to use these people are really good and we're going to use them. Like, we've used them before. We're going to pick them. Yeah, but we need three quotes. I was like, you don't need three. I don't know. It's that is an infuriating process. And especially if, you know, that then is the choosing of that person comes down to people who haven't taken the time to understand each brief or just looking maybe at the bottom line, worst case scenario, right? Just looking at the price and going, well, that one seems pretty much the same, but it's $2,000 less. Like, without any depth of thought. I think that it just leads into that better client thing, right? That no matter what we're selling, like us people, we're in the relationship business, right? If we build relationships with other people in a business perspective first, right, we will get better work out of it. Do you know what I mean? Because that, you need to be that. I mean, we've been speaking for what, I don't know, 30 minutes, I'd say we'll come to an end soon. But it's that, you know, all the stuff that you know about design, all the stuff that you've done, right? All the conversations you've had with different people from different industries and stuff. Like, that's a chargeable lump of experience, right? That should be on an invoice of Cole's experience price, right? Do you know what, like, it should be the same, because not everybody has that. And nobody has Carl's experience, even if there's a guy who's run a design agency for 12 years in Derby, right? Another one, right? It's not had your experience. And I think that, you know, that's often missed by people. And that's why client work is difficult, man. Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's, like I say, maybe it was the fact they've got three directors. You've got three people pulling different ways then instead of one or two. They might want an agency that they want to aspire to be next to. We get that as well. Oh, we do, you know, that agency does our work type thing. And because I'm not like,
yeah,
you know, my mantra is keep it real. You know, I've done big jobs. I've worked on big clients. But
of course,
I really had a chat about it all the time. I used to do major tournaments in Dubai in America for like World Series and, you know, and top AC Milan and Beckham playing, you know, did all that sort of stuff. And people used to say to me then, how do you get that work? And I thought, how disrespectful is that?
Don't you know who I am?
The person who I'm dealing with trusts in what I do. You know, it's just like, it's an odd world we live in sometimes.
It is. So to round out, Carl, before we'll let you go around today, I want to ask a pretty generic question, but what's the best bit of design you see? Like, typically people like enthuse about Apple about everything. Like, when you say, but we go, oh, Apple, right? But do you have a piece of design, whether it's something you've done or a brand you see that does design really well that we could look up to? Is there anybody you look up to particularly?
I You want to say?
It's all right not to, if you want. I know the best people who just.
Again, but like I say, my style is purist. So when I see that, the purest bit of design, I think my brain's overloaded all the time. There's nothing really sometimes sticks too much.
Yeah.
But I do, and it's weird, and it's obviously my logo, the Mr. Shaw logo S. That epitomizes everything for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've designed many, many logos over the years. But my connection with that and what I'm trying to do with that as a brand and as an identity, the simplicity and that identity says a lot. Because obviously design is layout and advert, it's all sorts, isn't it? It's everything. But ultimately, an identity, which Apple do really well in Nike. I also like Adidas Originals.
Yeah.
I like the heritage behind Adidas Originals and the retroness of it all. And there's so many things that I pull in, you know. I like the cleanliness of Lacoste as a client. Right. You know, that's a kind of high end sportswear. So I always just pull a few things in, but the purity really for me.
Purity. That's a good word. That's a good word. We'll put all the links to Mr. Shaw and everything into the show notes for people to shout out. But I am obviously a fan and a customer of Mr. Shaw anyway, so I agree with that logo. But with that, mate, I think we'll wrap up. So do you want to let people know where they can best get hold of you if they want to have a chat or find out more about what you do?
Yeah. Well, obviously, the day job, should I say, is my branding work, which is Silver Birch Creative. And the website is silverbirchcreative.com. My mobile number is on the contact page, so you can contact me direct there. Not at 7 or 7:30 on a night. Budget. But yeah, I'm passionate about what I do, so please give me a ring if you've got any visual communication, whether that's a brochure design, website or branding. You know, it's all encompassing and I manage the whole process. You know, I've been doing this a long time, so I know who to pull in if I haven't got the actual skill base myself to make a job complete.
Cool.
So that's that. And then obviously Mr. Shaw is mrshaw75.co.uk.
Good.
You know, as Tim knows, we've been talking earlier, we've got some exciting stuff happening, a collaboration which we'll be releasing this month, which is very exciting again. Again, that's all about heritage and brands working together.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Carl. So that, folks, brings us to the end of Rebite number 13, the first of 2021. I'll put everything that Carl referred to, his links, his contacts and his brands, into the show notes. I hope you enjoy it, but feel free to reach out. And I thank you very much.